certainly was not damage done by a bear. It was intentional vandalism.
Police discover thousands of dollars in damage in a Haines neighborhood and hired a Skagway postal worker. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell, sitting in for Margaret Friedenauer. That news and more up next. Haines police are estimating $5,000 in damage after discovering vandalism to heavy machinery in Chilkoot Estates Sunday night.
This certainly was not damage done by a bear. It was intentional vandalism done to the equipment.
Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe said Tuesday the damaged equipment is a steamroller used for pressing down streets. It was located at the new subdivision near the fairgrounds in Haines.
We collected some evidence from the scene, but anybody's got any information that would certainly help us, and we would like to prosecute that.
Chief Lowe says the department has some reason to believe the specific area or contractor was targeted in the vandalism. Anyone with information on the incident can reach the police department by calling 766-2121. The Skagway Post Office has a new hire. That move following nearly 2 months of outcry from Skagway residents about the understaffed post office there. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office was informed Tuesday by the U.S. Postal Service that a new staff member is moving from Juneau to Skagway to fill one job, and the USPS is working through applications for the other unfilled temporary positions. Murkowski was in Skagway in late May when she called the postal situation in the community intolerable. She followed up the visit with a call out to members of the community to share their concerns about mail delivery in Skagway. Here's a clip from an online video posted by Murkowski's office in early June.
The one thing that I heard loud and clear was that there are some real issues with the U.S. Postal Service there in Skagway. I heard a lot of stories that caused me to contact the head of the Postal Service in Anchorage, as well as the Postmaster General back in Washington, D.C. We want to get to the bottom of this, but in order to do so, we need to hear what some of the other concerns are.
Skagway citizens returned the request by submitting stories about mail delivery delays as long as a business week and weeks worth of mail being delivered together intermittently. Besides additional temporary staff positions that the Postal Service is working to fill, a post office webcam is also part of the plan to improve postal service in Skagway. Bootleggers, alongside other under-the-table wheelers and dealers, have their place in Alaska's pioneer history. But today, distilleries are beginning to produce an above-the-law, higher-end product for 21 and ups. The next one could be distilled in Haines. It's a new idea based on an old idea. Russian sailors likely first arrived with alcohol in the mid-1700s, but Hootchinoo Klingits have been said to be the inventors of hooch, a gold miner favorite made from molasses in the late 1800s. So the process is already historically local, but it's only recently legal.
Well, the whole craft distillery business is rather new because it was outlawed for so long. And the industry is still recovering from the era of prohibition. So I think it's the case of young entrepreneurs discovering that there's something they can do at the craft level that's already being done well at a mass production scale.
Heather Shade, along with husband Sean Copeland, are two of those young entrepreneurs. They live in Haines and are working to open an artisanal craft distillery in the historic Fort Seward area of the town. The effort is comparable to others that are stocking more and more American liquor stores with designer, small-batch spirits made around the country. It's all part of a movement only freed up recently, as states have been cleaning up old prohibition laws.
Just noticing other distilleries and saying,
yeah,
people are doing this.
We were traveling down south this winter, and we start to become aware that other people were creating small artisanal distilleries, kind of like the craft beer movement.
Washington State, for example, has approved some 40 distilleries since 4 years ago when the state began allowing private sales and distribution of hard liquor.
Yeah, and everybody's doing it down there. Why can't we do it here? There's lots of room for it here. It's like we're the first people in Southeast to do this. We don't want to move. We want to live here and start and do something else. You know, work in construction, and it's tough in the winter, and it takes all your time in the summer. Let's do something smarter, not harder.
There are currently 2 distilleries in Alaska, none in Southeast, yet. Alaska provides the distillery license, but the federal government requires more complicated paperwork through the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. Shade and Copeland's Port Chilkoot Distillery is currently applying for their new distillery liquor license.
There's a lot of room for creativity, and there seems to be a lot of demand for creative new drinks. And a lot of the small distilleries are trying to use local ingredients or sourcing sustainable, organically grown grains from around their area just to make it a truly unique product to where they're producing it. And we thought we could do a similar thing here, albeit on a smaller scale since Haynes and the population base around here is so small. But people who are starting these micro distilleries are using it as a chance to be creative.
Creativity indeed. Alaska operations have introduced salmon-flavored spirits, liquor made from the Alaska birch tree, and even created the first alcohol distilled with the hemp seed. This venture hopes to tap into local flavors that occur naturally around Haynes.
What are we thinking for the gin and vodka? It would be really pretty easy to infuse with different botanicals from here.
We'd like to use some local plant.
We can't
plant
let
products.
Yeah, we can't let go of all of our inside secrets here in the recipes. But you can imagine going out picking in the woods and things that smell good and taste good.
The couple is now spending their days working on reviving an historic building in the Fort Seward area, the future location of the distillery. It was built around 1904 and functioned as the Fort Bakery, before being used for fish smoking, possibly a mechanic shop, and most recently, storage.
This building came up for sale. We saw it as a good opportunity to incorporate bringing back from some of the historical aspects of Haynes and incorporating it into this new type of business.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's been used for storage for a long time, and so leaky roofs and alders growing against the siding and chimneys that didn't get the flashing fixed, so it's been kind of run down.
But it's repairable.
It's totally repairable.
The building stands independently at 34 Blacksmith Street in Haynes. Its insides have been cleared of decades-old odds and ends, and construction workers now take their places.
Yeah, we wanted a historical building. We wanted it to be someplace accessible for tourism, you know, for the tourists coming off the cruise ships, and we wanted... Yeah, this is like the best area in Haynes, you know, we think commercially. Mm-hmm. So this is where we wanted to be. And we wanted a cool building. I thought that lifelong dream.
In this dream, the celebratory toast is still a ways off. There's a building to restore, materials to move in, paperwork to file, distilling to occur, and spirits to taste test before the liquor finally flows at Port Chilkoot.
Timeline. We're totally winging it. We didn't even know we were buying this building. We thought we were going to go over there in the building next door and we'd be up and running by next spring. All of a sudden, it's like we got this and we're just trying to figure out what to do. It's hard to evaluate or assess the building until we got all the junk out. Now we're jacking it up and seeing is the foundation really good. And it is. So we're just taking it step by step. And now we have a big project before that. So we'll see. That might add 6 months.
We're hoping sometime next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say.
We're working on Haynes time.
The last time Haynes hosted a baseball tournament like this one, AstroTurf and free agency was the hottest new thing in the great American pastime. Last week's Little League tournament was the first one held locally since 1976. It brought together 5 Southeast Alaska teams of 11 and 12-year-old boy and girl players for the 2012 regional showdown. The
tournament was great. We had great weather. We had great kids.
Ashley Sage and Haynes helped organize the tournament, which ran from Tuesday to Sunday at the baseball field at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds. Teams played 2 games a day on the Little League field, while parents and spectators from around Southeast formed one of the biggest cheering sections the field has ever seen.
We had Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, and Prince of Wales, and then we had our own all-star team here. We had great weather. The kids had a lot of fun. And the community got to watch a lot of live baseball.
The championship game on Sunday came down to the region's biggest teams, Juneau and Ketchikan. Juneau won the overall Southeast title, entering them into the state tournament in Anchorage. The winner of that tournament will go on to San Bernardino, California, to play in the West Regional Tournament in August. Sage points out last week was the first time anyone from out of town has played an official game on the local field.
Well, we built a regulation-sized Little League field up at the fairgrounds, and we got in on the rotation, and this was our first year of the rotation, and we had a great tournament. Lots of people helped, and everyone had fun.
10 kids played for Haynes on the All-Star team last week, pulled from the regular season that started as soon as the snow cleared the field in April.
Haynes beat Prince of Wales. It was, I believe it was the only game of the tournament that went the full six innings. So we had some good hits. It was just fun to watch all the teams with their, there were some incredible hitters. There were some fun double plays, some pretty funny catches, and it's just 11 and 12-year-old ball.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for getting your news on KHNS.